Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Question number one, is the medical support order a qualifying life event?
Hi, Jim. The qualifying medical support order is an order from a local, state, or federal authority that requires an employer to respond to a questionnaire and to comply with the law. As it says, it is an order. So it orders the employer, in most cases, to offer coverage to a dependent, to have that dependent enrolled on either dad's or mom's coverage. The employee may have declined coverage for himself or herself at the last open enrollment, but when the employer receives that qualifying medical support order, it does require that the employer answer all the questions and follow all the rules and add the child, which often means adding the parent to the plan in order to do it. So it is not a qualifying life event, but an order that the employer must follow.
Can an employer offer or allow enrollment in an HRA, health reimbursement arrangement, without the person enrolling in the group health plan?
So the quick answer to this one is yes. And what you need to remember is the HRA, the health reimbursement arrangement, is itself a group health plan. So the employer, in this case, is spending his or her dollars to tell an employee that they can use those dollars on certain things, and they need to put the list of those things that the employee is able to spend those dollars on in a document. So it could be, and most usually it's copay, coinsurance, deductible. But if the employer wants to extend that benefit to an employee that is waiving coverage with the employer, but is enrolled on the spouse's plan and wants to allow the employee to have access to HRA dollars, even though they're not enrolled, that's completely up to the employer how they want to spend those dollars. They should also contact their HRA administrator to make sure that it is in writing and done properly, and it's always best to get the advice of their own counsel.
How is a newborn child covered on a parent's plan, and for how long?
So this one is kind of tricky. I mean, we've all known it for years and approximately how it went, but usually the first 30 days, the child will be covered under mom's coverage, and any care that the child needs in that first 30 days is as though the mom is getting coverage. It goes under her plan. At the end of the 30 days, and the 30 days is sort of a general rule here because there are some states where it could be 31 days or 32 days. So you have to check with the particular state where you are or where the person lives to make sure that you're following their rules and their protocols. But after 30 days, the child then would need to be added to the plan. As a dependent child, they can no longer continue piggybacking off of mom's plans. So read your underwriting guidelines and the certificate of coverage about the plan that the employee is enrolled in, because each carrier may have specific details that need to be followed.
An employer grows to over 50 employees mid-year in 2022. Does the employer need to tell the carrier, and does the carrier complete the 1095C, 1094C forms for the employer?
So this is definitely the time of year when this is coming up. And to answer your first question, no, the employer does not need to tell the carrier. The carrier asks for reports and certifications every year, so they should have a pretty good idea of what the employer is doing. If they're growing to over 50 in 2022, then likely at renewal process for 2023, that carrier would learn that. And then more specifically, talking about the 1095C and 1094C forms, the answer is absolutely not. No carrier can complete a 1095C or a 1094C on the behalf of an employer, because those C forms are for employers to show that they did offer coverage and that the coverage was affordable to at least 95% of their full-time staff, and then whether or not the employee enrolled or if they waived coverage, was that coverage affordable? The carrier does not know that about the employer. They're not going to ask the employer. It's just the employer's responsibility to complete the 1095C for each employee that is eligible for coverage and to complete the 1094C, which asks a lot about the group. Again, the carrier will not know. So the employer is always responsible for the 1095C and the 1094C forms.
Must a broker complete the broker transparency form every year?
So broker transparency became effective on December 27th of 2021. It is the responsibility of the broker to give the employer some explanation of the earnings for the placement and servicing of the employer's health plan. The employer is supposed to report to the Department of Labor if they don't receive that report of the commissions and of the earnings. So it is generally advised that the broker provide the broker transparency report on an annual basis, and that way it allows the employer to understand what is the commission that is received and if there are any other types of awards or rewards, such as a free lunch or free tickets to a ball game, that the broker may receive in addition to their commissions.
Is paid COVID leave still required in New York?
Thank you for an easy one. So yes, it is still required in New York. It is also still required in the city of Philadelphia. And caution to employers, when you have employees that live in many states or parts of different states, you need to make sure that if you have employees that live in those specific areas, that you are properly using the right coverage for them. So New York does have the paid COVID leave still. Philadelphia does. Pittsburgh's has expired. So you have to pay attention to all the rules as they are ever changing.
An employer has more than 250 1095C forms to send to the IRS for 2022. Must the 1095C and 1094C forms be filed electronically for 2022?
The answer is yes. The employer who needs to file 250 or more 1095C forms must file both the 1095C and the 1094C forms electronically. So this is when it comes in handy to have a third-party administrator or have your payroll vendor who is able to complete the forms for you or at least file those forms for you. There are some similar electronic systems out there that an employer can avail themselves of or purchase if they'd like to. Also, if an employer wants to do the electronic filing on their own, they must apply for and receive approval via the AIR system, which stands for the Affordable Care Act Information Returns. It is a separate system that you must have a subscription to. You must get approval from the IRS before you can send those forms in. And a secondary trigger with the 250 forms is any employer that is filing 250 or more W-2 forms must also show the cost of health insurance in box 12 DD of the W-2. So two separate things there that are triggered by the 250, slightly different things, but things that the employer needs to be aware of.
When an employer decides to terminate their business, is there a requirement to let the employees know?
Yes, there is. There is a federal notice called a WARN notice, W-A-R-N, which stands for the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act. This was effective back in early 1989, and it requires the employer to provide a 60-day advance notice of any plant closings and or mass layoffs that are going to occur. This is required when the employer has 100 or more employees. There are clarifications about how do you count the employees, and there are some exceptions that are a part of the WARN notice, the law that the federal government has. There are some states that have their own version of the WARN notice, and I can think of New Jersey is one of ours. New Jersey has their own version of WARN, and in some ways it does differ from the federal WARN requirements. So again, employers need to make sure that they're speaking with their advisors, their own counsel, to make sure that they're getting all these notices out if they are going to have major layoffs or closings.
Can an individual withdraw funds from their own HSA, health savings account, at any time?
Yes, they can. When we think about the HSA, as you said, it is a health savings account. So it does belong to the employee or owner. And once funds are put into that health savings account, they are completely owned by that employee or the owner. The owner can spend those forms however they want. So there certainly are rules with the health savings account. From the tax perspective, the owner can spend the HSA money on health-related expenses. Typically, those are things that would be on a 213D list, so many of you are familiar with that list. If the HSA money is spent on a non-health-related item, it must be claimed on the individual's tax return. A penalty of 20% would be assessed on that money that was used for non-health-related expenses. A person can pay for health expenses out of their pocket today. At some point in the future, then the owner could choose to withdraw and transfer that money to themselves as a reimbursement. It's up to the owner of the HSA, the health savings account, to prove the withdrawals that they took were for the bona fide expenses. If the owner does not contribute to the HSA any longer, then there could be a fee for each of those transactions to get money out of the health savings account because they're no longer contributing to it. So it's good to understand the administrator that you have your health savings account with and what those charges might be. Also, keep in mind, as we've talked about many times in this podcast, there are different states that have different rules. Some of them are specific to health savings accounts, so it's always best to refer to the HSA rules, not only from the federal government, from the state as well, and to speak to the administrator of the HSA.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.